Galatians chapter 6 this morning. Galatians chapter 6. And let's begin reading this morning from verse 7, and we'll read through verse number 10. It says, "Be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith." Let's pray. Lord, bless our time in Thy Word this morning. And as we look at the verses that we just read, might the Spirit of God give us clear understanding of them. And then, Lord, might we leave this place this morning desirous of sowing proper things and sowing them in abundance that we might reap the same. And so, Lord, may the Word of God in this particular message honor and glorify Thee in heaven as it goes forth. Might it help Your people, and might it draw the lost unto Jesus. And it's in His name that I pray. Amen. Sometimes people refer to the laws of the physical universe or the laws of nature, and maybe it isn't completely wrong to classify them as such. However, I think we need to recognize that they are more than just laws of nature, but laws that God Almighty has put into place, laws that do not change. For instance, we sometimes speak of the law of gravity. And the law of gravity says something that goes up must come down. It's a law of nature. It's a law not because it's to be obeyed, but because it's a formula that is always followed in the universe. And our text speaks of such a law. It is the law of sowing and reaping. And even the Bible takes this law of God, this natural law, this law of the physical universe, and it applies it to the spiritual realm. And so what I want to do this morning is look at three truths or facts about sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. And the first is this: you always reap what you sow. You always reap what you sow. Notice again verse number 7. It says, "Be not deceived." And any time the Bible says that, there is a tendency for one to deceive themselves, to think that things are going to happen differently than what God has outlined in His Word. But He says, don't be deceived. Don't let someone else deceive you, and don't deceive yourselves. God is not mocked. Maybe another way of saying that is nobody ever gets away with anything. God's not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You know, there has never been a farmer who has sown corn and harvested wheat. There has never been a farmer who has sown beans in his field and harvested grapes. No, he always reaps what he sows. And just as that is true in the physical realm, it is true in the spiritual realm. Even James 3:12 talks of this principle when it says, "Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries? And the answer is no. either a vine, figs? No. It's impossible. It's a physical impossibility. Now, I understand scientists can do some very creative things nowadays. Somehow they can take the roots and parts of an apple tree and the roots and the parts of an orange tree and splice them together and, you know, produce something in between or both. It's been a while since I've read on that. But again, that has to be something that is performed, you know, by scientists. It's not something that occurs naturally. You always reap what you sow. And that's what this verse tells us. You always reap the same. And you know, many times when we talk about the law of sowing and reaping, our minds immediately, you know, project to soul winning. And I believe that's a proper thing to think about when thinking about sowing and reaping. After all, in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 30, it says, "The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise." And that particular verse is talking about sowing and reaping. It says, "The fruit of the righteous." That which he produces is a tree of life or souls. And so this particular law of God applies to soul winning. And where we sow the seeds of the Word of God, we reap the same. We reap a harvest of souls. And I think that's an important part of the law of sowing and reaping. But you know, it extends much more beyond that. And even this particular chapter, when you look at the context, is it talking about, you know, sowing the Word of God and reaping a harvest of souls? No. While we can apply it to that, it's talking about something different. Notice verse 8, "He that soweth to his flesh," so it gives us this example of what it's talking about, "shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting." And this is what we talked about for a number of weeks, right? Whether or not we're yielded to the Spirit of God and allowing Him to produce in us the fruit of the Spirit, or whether or not we're yielded to our flesh and giving way to it and performing the works of the flesh. And make no mistake about it, if we give way to the flesh, and we sow to the flesh, we will reap destruction. And that destruction comes in many different forms. But in general, what we will find is our lives will be a mess. If you're talking about the sensual sins of the flesh, one reaps disease. If those things happen within a marriage, it produces broken homes, unruly children, and we could go on and on. If we're talking about other works of the flesh, hatred, variance, wrath, emulations, if we're talking about those things, and if those things are exhibited in our lives, what is it going to produce in our relationships with other people? Conflict, strife, argument. So if you sow to the flesh, you reap destruction. But if you sow to the Spirit, it says you reap life everlasting. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. If we give way to the Spirit of God and He produces those things in us, we'll find a peace that the world doesn't understand. And there are other things that we could apply this principle to. Look, for instance, well, let's look right here first before we go elsewhere. Verse number 10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, and we see the word therefore, so it's talking about this particular principle, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. It says it this way in the book of Proverbs, he that hath friends must show himself friendly. So if you sow friendliness, you know what you'll reap? The same. People will be friendly to you. You do good to others in a general sense. What are you going to reap? You'll reap the same. People will be good to you. This principle applies to giving. In the book of Luke, I thought I had it here in my notes, but perhaps not. Jesus said, if you give financially and otherwise to people, men shall give unto you. You reap what you sow. That principle, how about in Matthew chapter 7, in verse 7, judge not, lest ye be judged. We know it's not a universal condemnation against judgment. The spiritual man, he judges righteous judgment. But there is a principle there. The same way you judge others is the way you will be judged by God. God says if you don't forgive others, their trespasses against you, He'll not forgive you. In other words, you'll always reap what you sow. Blessed are the merciful. They shall obtain mercy. If you show mercy, God will extend to you mercy. See how it works? You give, it'll be given unto you. The way you judge is the way you'll be judged. You do good to others, you show yourself a friend, and they'll be friendly to you. How about the parable in Luke chapter 16? Luke chapter 16, the parable there in the first part of the chapter. It says in verse 1, and he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. He's wasted his master's money, and now he's going to be held accountable. And so what does he do? Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg, I am ashamed. What am I going to do? I'm going to lose my job. And I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. And so what did he do? He called all those that owed a certain amount, and he kind of cut it in half. And were those people going to be grateful to him? Absolutely. And why did he do this? So that when he loses his job, he had done them a favor, and now they would return the same. And there is a sense in which Jesus here commends the man for what he did. Notice there in verse 8, and the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. I preached a message one time on this text entitled Second Best. And it kind of helps you to understand the principle that Jesus is teaching here. And that is, if you're not going to give your life to the Lord, if you're not going to wholeheartedly serve Him, you might as well give your money to those who are. Because in doing so, you're indirectly benefiting yourself in eternity because you have become a co-laborer of theirs. And it seems to me that's what Jesus is saying here. What does He say? Make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness. You know that book, what's the title of it? Making Friends and Influencing People. You can make a lot of friends. You give them money. And that's probably not the best way to make friends. Of course, then when your money's gone, they're no longer friends. But again, Jesus says here that they may receive you into everlasting habitations. This man, he did it so that whenever he was, when he lost his job and lost his home, he would have a place to stay amongst those whom he showed favor to. Well, God says we should do it so that they'll receive us into everlasting. And all I'm trying to point out here in this parable is that the law of sowing and reaping applies. Because when you do good things to others, they're inclined to do the same to you. Now, understand, Jesus did say that we're to help and to give to those who can give us nothing in return. I don't think that the motivation for giving and helping people ought to be so that we can receive back from them. We're to give and to help people who can't return the favor. And God says, I'll return the favor. I will bless you. But make no mistake about it, we reap what we sow. It's a law of God. And this is true for the good, just as it's true for the bad. If we lie to others, you know what we can expect? People to lie to us. If we trick and deceive and fool others, you know what we can expect? People to trick and fool and deceive us, just like what happened to Jacob. What did he do to Esau? Tricked him out of his birthright and his blessing. He was deceitful. And you know what happened? Come his wedding day, Laban gave him the wrong daughter, and he reaped what he had sown. How about there in the book of Esther, Haman builds the gallows to hang Mordecai by because he refused to bow down to him. But in the end of the story, what happens? It's Haman who is hanged on the gallows that he built. He reaped what he had sown. David, it's as though he lived two different lives, blessed of God in the first part, but not so much in the second part. His sin with Bathsheba and the killing of Uriah the Hittite brought upon his family turmoil. He was reaping what he had sown. How about those that threw Daniel in the lion's den? They wanted him to die. But in the end, God spared his life, and they were thrown into the den of lions and eaten. You always reap what you sow. I think about Jezebel. Here she was, a wicked woman. Had Naboth killed because of her lies. But look at her terrible end, where she was thrown out a window onto the ground to die. And the dogs ate her body. You always reap what you sow. I've said this before, let me say it one more time. Let the word never be uttered from our mouths, karma. It's not karma. It's Buddhism. It's the law of sowing and reaping. And you always reap what you sow. But also notice, you always reap after you sow. In verse 9 it says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. And that again helps us to understand the context. Doing right. That's what's being talked about. Doing right. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. There has never been a farmer to reap before he has first sown. And the two events are usually separated by a season, by months, not just by days. Around here, the farmers plant their crops in May, sometimes June, and they harvest in September, October. I notice some of the corn down here is still in the field, and we're well into December. I don't know what's going to happen to that corn. But there's always a period of time in between sowing and reaping. And you always reap after you sow. It says, for in due season. It doesn't tell us precisely when, does it? It just says in due season. In Sunday school class, we were in Hebrews chapter 11 and talking about those that are mentioned there died in faith, not having received the promises. Died in faith, not having received the promises. They were always expecting them. Their whole life, they lived expecting God's blessings and God's promises. And I could go into great depth talking about what promise or promises that is referring to. As we said in our Sunday school class, one of the promises it refers to is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, His first coming, His first advent. They were waiting for that, and waiting, and waiting, and they died waiting. And you and I, we're awaiting the blessings of God. We're awaiting the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're awaiting other blessings, right? We hope to see God's goodness here in the land of the living. Yet sometimes we wait an awful long time. And we just keep sowing the seeds of the Word of God. Sowing seeds of kindness, sowing seeds of faithfulness. We just keep serving the Lord and we're waiting. And sometimes we get discouraged because we don't see the harvest of our labors. And you know what God is doing here? He's trying to encourage us. He says, don't grow weary in well-doing. Don't get wore out. Don't get tired. God says in due season, you'll reap as long as you don't faint. As long as you don't quit. Because folks, if you do quit, you won't reap. You have to be faithful and faithful to the end. The Apostle Paul said that henceforth there is laid up for me a crown. Why? Because he had kept the faith. And he had finished his course. So don't grow weary. I mean, sometimes, yes, we get discouraged. The Bible says, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. And we're waiting blessings from God and we don't see them coming as we'd like. And we become discouraged. Discouraged due to a lack of fruit, due to a lack of zeal, due to the presence of trials. And we begin to ask ourselves, is it really worth it? Is this ever going to pay off? But the Bible often encourages us. Ecclesiastes 11:1 says, cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. There's always a season of waiting. They that sow in tears, Psalm 126 says, shall reap in joy. They that goeth forth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again, bringing his sheaves with him. Shall doubtless come again, but it's going to be after a period of sowing. You always reap what you sow, and you always reap after you sow. And then lastly, the final truth I want to bring out about sowing and reaping is that you always reap more than you sow. Think about it. A farmer plants one seed of corn and he reaps a whole ear. A gardener plants one little watermelon seed. And have you ever seen how many seeds is produced on the inside of a watermelon? That is still one of the most amazing things to me that I've ever witnessed. That you can take one little black seed stick it in the ground. And 3-4 months later, it's this great big bright white and green thing on the inside, or on the outside, bright pink on the inside, with hundreds of little seeds, just like the one that you put in the ground. Am I the only one that finds that amazing? I'm like, where did that come from? I go out, when I've planted them, I go out in the garden and I look, and boom, it just, every day, just grows and grows and grows. It's amazing, but you plant one seed and you reap hundreds. You take one walnut, put it in a cup, water it and allow it to grow, and then you plant it in your yard and it produces a walnut tree, and pretty soon that one walnut seed that you planted produces dozens of walnuts just like it every year. That's amazing. You always reap more than you sow. Wouldn't be much point of sowing a seed if it only produced one other seed just like it. But that's not the way it happens. You always reap more. Here's that verse I had, Luke 6:38. It says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, so shall men give into your bosom. What's God say? You give, and you'll get a whole lot more in return. Jesus told his disciples when they asked, we have forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have? And what did Jesus tell him? If you've done that thing, you can be assured that you'll receive much more than you ever gave up. Much more than you ever sacrificed. It's easy for us to think that our work is insignificant. But I'm confident that if we serve God faithfully, one day we'll be surprised at how much our little service can accomplish. And it's not because of us, it's because of God. Because you see, Jesus, He took one little boy's sack lunch, one little boy's good deed and willingness to share, and He fed thousands with it. Thousands with it. And you see, that's the thing about sowing and reaping. Just sow a seed. If you sow a seed in someone's heart and God uses it to produce life, and that person sows a seed in somebody, and it begins to multiply exponentially. But it all started with just one seed. Because God will take that seed and He'll multiply it. The law of sowing and reaping. You always reap what you sow. You always reap after you sow. And you always reap more than you sow. Boy, that should be encouraging. And that really should motivate us to sow and to sow bountifully. Sow the seed of the Word of God in people's hearts. Sow in respect to giving. Sow in respect to being merciful, to being forgiving. Sow in every area that God would have us to sow. And then wait. That's the hard part, I guess. And then wait. Wait expectingly. And God will give a harvest in due season. So long as we don't give up. So long as we never faint. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Thy Word. Thank You for the principles that are found in it. Thank You for the encouragement that's found in it as well. Lord, here I believe You have attempted to encourage us when we become discouraged. And Lord, it's easy to become discouraged today when there's so few who seem to respond to the preaching of the gospel. There's so few who darken the doors of Bible-believing churches. And Lord, at times it just appears that our service is accomplishing nothing or maybe very little. But Lord, help us to be encouraged by the verses that we find here in the book of Galatians. Lord, you've promised us that if we would sow, we will reap. And you're gracious enough, Lord, to help us to reap much more than what we have sown. So help us to be patient, to endure, to fight the good fight of faith, Lord, that we could one day see a harvest at thy hand. So Lord, take the message this morning and use it for thy glory and use it for the benefit of thy people. And Lord, if there's one among us who's lost and not yet saved, I pray that you draw them unto thyself for salvation. And I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me. And let's turn to hymn 131, Jesus Paid It All. 131.